You are now invited to step through the doorway of time to explore a piece of the puzzle to life's hidden mysteries. What ancient secrets lie just beneath the surface of these eternal questions? Who am I? What is my karma? And why, oh why, is my life like this? Money, sex, power.
Oh no.
You're listening to Money, Sex, Power, What's Your Karma? The psychic show that talks to living. I'm your host, Lilith Starr, with co-host MG, Babel, and Promo Pete. Good morning, West Coast, and good afternoon, East Coast. And hello to all you good karma lovers out there. We'll be here every Friday on VBS Radio from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time and 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, bringing you good karma stories with MG, spiritual insights with Babel, and Promo Pete announcing the latest events and products that we have to offer that anyone may be interested in to maintain their good karma. Later on in the show, I will also be taking calls from anyone listening out there who would like their karma read. The numbers to call are 1-877-876-5227 and 1-877-876-5185, your good karma reading. Once again, the numbers are 1-877-876-5227 and 1-877-876-5185 for your free karma reading. So be brave and call in for your free karma reading later on in the show. Before we get started, at the start of every show, I read the definition of karma. And the reason I do this is because a lot of people out there have preconceived or misconceptions about what karma actually means and what it actually is. So I do this so that when people call in to get their karma reading, they do have a general idea of how the information applies to them and how they can make it work for them in their lives and for themselves. The karma is not the aura or general energy around you or fate. The actual true definition is as follows. The force generated by a person's actions, thought, words, and deeds, which perpetuate reincarnation, determine the nature of their next existence, also known as cause and effect. I'll read that again. The force generated by a person's actions, thought, word, and deed, which perpetuates reincarnation and determines the nature of their next existence, also known as cause and effect, which actually means your karma accumulates lifetime after lifetime until you are able to work through it, and after having done so, can achieve a higher level of existence. So make a note of that. I will read it again in the show, so when those of you who are out there who are going to call in for your karma reading have an understanding of how this applies in your life. Also, it's important that for those listening, understand that the purpose of this show, Money, Sex, Power, What's Your Karma, is to make you think, question, and perhaps believe that what goes around really does come around in this life or the next or the next or the one after that and so forth. And so that by being more aware of this, you can make a difference to yourself and life. It's important to understand this so that you don't always blame others, people, or situations for the reason that you're going through difficulty in your life. To understand that you have responsibility to make your life into whatever you wish it to be, but that you have to take responsibility and have the will, desire, and courage to be able to do this. Otherwise, you will continue to repeat the same mistakes and lessons, not understanding why your life is the way it is. Before we get to the karma readings, I'm going to turn things over to Good Karma MG so she can bring us some stories. Every week she does this, she accumulates and finds good karma stories about people, individuals, situations, and so forth, to share with us and with everybody out there so they can see and hear that, yes, there are good karma things that happen in the world. It's not always doom and gloom. So, MG, are you there?
Yes, MG. Well, hello, hello.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello, 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 everyone. Hello, hello, hello.
So what do you have for us today?
Well, I have several stories, but they are short and sweet, but impactful. So I'd like to share 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stories.
Oh, my goodness, I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, before we begin, I'd like to give a shout-out to all the Think Good Karma and What's Your Karma MySpace friends. Thank you so much for all your support and all your lovely comments. And if you are listening today, hoping that you'll enjoy today's show, and please feel free to call Lilith to get a free karma reading. And, you know, what's the better way to start off the weekend is to get a free karma reading. So,
oh, yeah. Thank
you. You're welcome. All right. So let's begin. Some news from Louisiana. NWLANews.com reports a local couple, Donnie and Gail Juno, donated $600,000 to help the LSU Health Sciences Center in Shreveport to increase organ transplant research. The money will fund an endowed chair. The LSU Health Sciences Center Foundation will ask the state's higher education board to add $400,000 to create a $1 million endowment. And Donnie Juno, one of the donors, said he has wanted to give back to the hospital since undergoing a liver transplant in 2002. So that is like a little what you give back, what you shall receive. Yeah. So he definitely wanted to help that foundation. And from USA Today, I found some news from Buffalo, New York. The University of Buffalo got a $7.6 million contract to help AIDS researchers in developing countries to conduct proper clinical trials. The seven-year award from the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases is one of the largest UB has ever received. So the university will develop a quality control program and labs on campus and train researchers in places where HIV and AIDS infection rates are highest. $7.6 million.
Wow.
For AIDS research. Yes. And so we're all aware of the horrible hurricane Ike that devastated Texas. So this is news I found from worldnews.com. A charitable campaign set up by the NFL's Houston Texans to benefit victims of Hurricane Ike has raised $2.45 million. Texans owner Bob McNair donated $500,000, and the NFL and its Players Association matched that. Corporation also donated to the effort. The money raised will be divided into two relief funds. The Houston Ike Relief Fund, established by Mayor Bill White for short-term relief for food, water, and medicine, and the United Way Fund for longer-term goals.
Wow.
And, this is, keep rolling. Salt Lake Tribune reports that the State Department awarded the University of Utah's Law School $2.5 million, a one-year grant to help Iraq build an independent judiciary. Hiram Chadash, dean of the school's S.J. Quinney College of Law, says, "The idea is to develop a constitutional legal framework and to create a way to enact laws and amendments to the Iraqi Constitution." Spearheading the Iraqi project with Chadash are Professor Chibli Malat, an expert in Middle Eastern legal systems. Malat adds, "This project hopes to help Iraq in the heroic efforts of its judiciary to create a role model for rule of law in the Middle East." And finally, Charleston Daily Mail. This was interesting. Work is expected to begin next spring on a new elementary school in Berkeley County that officials said will be West Virginia's first green public school.
Wow.
Systems being considered for the school in Spring Mills include geothermal-based heating and cooling. State School Building Authority Executive Director Mark A. Matchin said the Spring Mills school will be a prototype for the rest of West Virginia. The school will be designed to meet certification standards in the leadership and energy and environmental design green building rating system. So there you have it.
A great story.
Wow. Thank you.
Different stories this week because considering, you know, the financial crisis, that people are still able to give money to those less fortunate, I think that's really amazing.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I felt when I was reading this. You know, I mean, people, you know, during this economic crisis, I'm sure people probably want to tighten up their purses, but you know, we've got 600,000 here, 7.6 million, 500,000, 2.5 million, and then development of a new school using green technology. I mean, that's, you know, everyone, even though we are, you know, facing chaos and uncertainty and stuff, there is still people willing to make positive change, you know, in this, in our planet, in our communities, you know.
Yeah.
So
that's a good,
very optimistic sort of.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's great. That's fantastic, MG. Before we go to commercial break, I'm going to do a quick reading. Someone's pressing to get in. I can feel their vibration. So we're going to, before we go to break, I'll be come back to you, MG. Hello?
Okay.
Hello?
Hello, I'm here.
Hello?
Hello? Hello? I'm here. Hello?
There's a caller out there, I think.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi. I'm here.
Hi. How are you? What's your name?
Maggie,
are you calling to get your karma read?
Yes, of course.
Yes, okay, wonderful. How are you enjoying the show?
Oh, I love it.
Oh, good. Wonderful. Okay, the karma I see for you is in 980 AD in ancient Rome. In a male vibration, you were an excellent athlete. You had a very good physical structure. Your whole focus in life was to be as physically fit as you possibly could be. And the way you got to this point in life to excel as an athlete, as a sportsman, was that you'd worked your way up as a slave. And because you were very adept at athletics and sport in general, you were elevated to the point where you fought in the arena, you won, you know, many of your battles and things of that nature. But the thing was, in that lifetime, it was for you to balance the physical structure or your physical way of life with being spiritual. But in actual fact, because you were very physically attractive as well, you sort of mocked the Christians that were dying in the arena, you know, in terms of because of their belief system. So the karma was created. So in this lifetime, it's for you to balance the physical, in terms of your physical structure, your physical body, and your physical appearance, with spirituality, to realize there has to be a balance. There can't be too much of one or the other in this lifetime. So it's important that whatever you do in your life, this lifetime, that you follow a spiritual path as well and have balance with the two, because the two are equally important, and to make sure that you are tolerant of other people's belief systems as well, because there was intolerance of the Christianity in that particular lifetime.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Okay. How does it apply to your life now?
Well, I have very diverse children.
Uh-huh.
So, they didn't follow the perfect model that I would have liked. My youngest son has got tattoos all over his body.
Oh, really?
And I would have probably drank and smoked if I thought he was going to mess up his skin as badly as he did.
Oh, okay.
I wanted him to not do that, and maybe give the money away to someone who really needed something done to their skin. But, you know, children don't always do exactly what you want, so I've had to be very tolerant.
Uh-huh.
And other people's point of views, and he's a wonderful person.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to, you know, broaden my way of thinking.
And what about your physical body in particular? Because the reading accented your physical body, your physical sort of well-being.
Well, yeah, it makes me sick when I don't get my own way, of course.
Oh, my goodness, wow. There you go. Well, I'm glad that reading was of help to you, Maggie.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, and thank you for calling in.
And have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, now we're going to go to commercial break, and we'll be back to talk a little bit more with MD about her stories, and then we're going to go to Babel.
Money, sex, power. What's your karma? The new psychic show that talks to the living about everyday people with everyday problems. Why do you do the things you do, and how can you fix it? Every Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Hosted by clairvoyant and author Lilith Dove. For a free karma reading, call 1-877-230-3062. Once again, for a free karma reading, call 1-877-230-3062. So, what's your karma?
Welcome back to Money, Sex, Power, What's Your Karma, the psychic show that talks to living. I'm your host, Lilith Dove, with co-hosts Good Karma MG, Babel, and Promo Pete. Good morning to all you West Coast lovers of karma and East Coast lovers out there of karma, too. We're here every Friday on BBS Radio from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We just had a short, quick reading with Maggie, and we were also, prior to that, talking to Good Karma NG about her wonderful stories that she shares with us every week. And before we go on to Babel's Insights, we have another caller calling in for a karma reading, so bear with me. Hello, who do I have out there?
Heather.
Hi, Heather, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Wonderful. So I'm assuming you're calling for your karma reading?
I am.
Where are you calling from?
California.
Okay, great. Okay, the karma I see for you is a lifetime with Attila the Hun. In that particular lifetime, you were a seal bearer, in that you carried the seal in front of the armies as they went into battle. And the family you came from, they weren't really poor or rich, they were just sort of in between. But this is your desire and what you wanted to do in terms of passion, to be part of the army and to fight for what you thought or believed to be true. So you were the one that carried the seal as the army went into battle. And in terms of what you were supposed to do in that lifetime, you were supposed to have a lifetime of more tolerance and understanding for people that were different from yourself, in terms of not necessarily following a lifetime of fighting or, you know, desecrating other people's, you know, cultures or their lifestyle, or, you know, following such a barbaric way of life, because Attila the Hun was particularly barbaric. But in that lifetime, that was your passion, your focus, to fight or to participate in fighting and to overthrow other people that, well, I would suppose that those lifetimes were considered lesser than Attila the Hun themselves. And of course, because you were the seal bearer, you actually died very young in battle. Now, the point of this is an aspect of power, to understand that, yes, you can be part of a powerful system, whether it's a corporate system or any kind of system in life, but you have to make sure that the principles that they stand by are of good and God, are in harmony with, you know, perpetuating unity through diversity and good principles. You can't just follow it blindly because you think or feel that their power is something you want to be part of that actually, in actual fact, has a negative effect on other people. So you have to be very careful with groups, organizations that you join, whose principles you have to make sure you really understand. Otherwise, it will have more of a debilitating effect on the outcome of your life and where it leads you. So be very careful how you follow blindly any group or organization that could not necessarily be in your best interest. You have to really question and ask if this is the highest and best for you. And because this situation happened in Europe, you do have karma with Europe. So anytime you would visit Europe, especially the eastern parts of Europe, you may feel a little uncomfortable.
It's very interesting. I am actually just grew up in Europe. So.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I do have karma there. I love Europe. I try to go back whenever I can.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Did you understand the concept of joining groups and organizations?
Of course, I did. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for calling, Heather. Bye-bye. Okay. So, that was our second karma reading. I know there's more of you out there listening, so feel free to call in. The numbers are 1-877-876-5227. And 1-877-876-5185 for your free good karma reading. I have to come back to MG later and go straight to Babel. I know he's waiting there in the wings. I can hear him breathing. Babel, are you there?
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning. What do you have for us today in terms of insights, Babel?
Well, you know, that I talk every week about becoming spiritually fit and mind, body, spirit, and soul. And the last few weeks since we started our show, I've focused in on the mind. Today I'm going to switch over and talk about the physical body. I know we had a reading earlier. It was about how to be, was reading with someone who was very physically fit in that lifetime. And this week's segment, I'm going to talk about how to keep the body fit and choosing the right exercise program. That's important. And it's important in choosing an exercise program. And these are some things I want everyone to consider in choosing the program. Number one, make sure it's a want to, not a have to.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Make sure you want to do the activity. I mean, there's a wonderful book out there. It's called Getting Old is Not for Sissies. And they did a book one, and they followed up 10 years later. And what this was a book about people enjoying their activities, whether it was horseback riding, surfing, weightlifting, yoga, you name it, ballet, all the way up into the 80s and 90s. So it's important to remember, I'm going to give you four concepts, and I call them the four S's when choosing a workout program. The first S is stretch. Now, this can be any program like Pilates, yoga, martial arts, general stretch class, or even ballet. Okay, make sure your workout program, one that you choose, focuses on stretch. Number two, the second S is stamina. A lot of people focus on this, a lot of heart attacks in the world, and a lot of cardio programs out there like spin class, swimming, running, elliptical, jump rope, even walking can fall in this category. And thirdly, stability. Balance poses, like stability balls, all kind of exercises, like in the yoga where you're standing on one leg, even maybe going on a hike and you have to cross a creek, you're going to have to walk across the rocks, and, you know, that focuses on stability and balance. And number four, of course, is strength, and this can fall in the categories of calisthenics, weightlifting, Olympic weightlifting, kettlebells, and general overall strength programs. And all the four S's, I call them, are interrelated to help each one create a complete system for a workout and keeping the body physical fit. And so I have a question for all the listeners out there. This is a trick question. I'll forewarn you here. What do you think the two S's are the most common out there out of these four S's that I mentioned? And this is going to be pretty easy. Most people focus in on strength and stamina. They go to the gym, run on the treadmill for 30 minutes, and then they go do a circuit training and or weights. And they do about a 30-second stretch and miss out on the stability. So their program is imbalanced in one way. So really the tip here today is to try to balance out the four S's in any workout program you choose and make sure that it's a want to, not a have to. And here's the final question I wanted to ask everybody. This is also not what you think. What do you think the number one reason is for working out, Lois?
I could think of a few things, but I'm going to leave that answer to you.
Yeah, I would say the number one reason for working out is circulation. Most people think it falls into the cosmetic range. I'm going to get buff or I'm going to get fit. And this is, but really, no matter what delivery system you choose to do, whether it's swimming, biking, Pilates, yoga, you know, any of the fitness programs out there, the number one reason to help the body stay fit is for circulation. And a lot of people wouldn't think that, but increasing the blood flow and oxygenating the system happens to be the most important thing that you can do for the physical body. And that's my segment this week.
Oh, that's fascinating. That's really it's unbelievable how you come up with these things, Babel. In terms of how you're seeing this series go, do you feel that it's really been helpful to people?
Each week I try to bring something that's one, common sense, and two, practical, that they can use on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
My interest in the listeners is if they go out and practice one of these tips and or, you know, try it for themselves so it becomes important for them. You know, I exercise daily. I actually teach exercise. This is my profession.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see most and what I'm going to go into the future is next week and the weeks beyond in the body segment is diet, you know, seeing a nutritionist, doctor, you know, along with the physical fitness programs. But as I talked about in the month earlier, it's your mindset that keeps you from a great exercise program. It's really the mind that builds the body. It's really the disciplining of the mind that get you into the gym instead of creating a U-turn, you know, like you're too tired or this or that, I can't, and all those negative words that stop you from working out. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm so fascinated with the mind segment, so I hope that helped everybody. You know, in prior weeks I talked about negative thinking, disciplining the mind, meditation techniques. These also, like, if you lifted heavy weights, Lil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, right. You lift weights, right?
Yeah.
You have to focus and concentrate on what you're doing. You get hurt. So, contrary to belief in terms of, you know, you have to go to yoga to help, you know, help you focus and concentrate. If you lift weights, you're focusing and concentrating. So you're help developing your mind also.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you, you know, go to a yoga class and you're standing on one leg, yeah, you have to focus and concentrate. If you're running, you know, 45 minutes on a treadmill or on a spin class, you know, you're spinning your bike, you have to focus and concentrate.
Exactly.
So not only do these help develop the physical body, they help develop the mind and helping it become focused and disciplined. And that 30 minutes or that 40-minute segment of you concentration, of deep concentration, helps your mind take a break from the chaotic ticker tape, I would say, that goes across your, you know, the rapid thought that you flood your mind on a daily basis. So not only do you get a break from that, you feel released. You feel released from that. And that's really an important part of the being physically fit is you get a release. One, you get a train to focus your mind. Three, you feel great because you've oxygenated your system and your blood's circulating to every corner of your body. And, you know, there's positive parts to all of this. And plus it helps when you get older to be stronger and flexible and so that you can enjoy, you know, the later years of your life. Because, I mean, one of the things I think makes me so sad is when, you know, oh, I'm going to retire.
But yeah,
the person can't do, you know, they can't enjoy the rest of their life because they've got aches and pains and they didn't enter a physical fitness program and, you know, their mind isn't active now, they're not in their jobs and they just deteriorate.
Yeah.
And so I think that single most thing makes me sad is because I see it every day in my work. If young kids can start in an exercise program, it does not have to be competitive athletics. It could be anything that just keeps them active. You know, I see even small kids with these ginormous, I don't know if that's a real word, but ginormous backpacks.
Yeah,
they're carrying bigger backpacks than me.
Yes, I often wonder about that too, actually.
You know,
stay there for a second, Babel. If you have a caller coming in, I'll come back to you.
Yeah.
Don't go away. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello, who am I speaking to?
This is Penelope.
Hi, Penelope. How are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm from Utah.
Oh, great. Wonderful. So I'm assuming you're calling for your karma to be read.
Yes, please.
Yes, the last time I've seen for you is in the Middle East somewhere, not Saudi Arabia, but somewhere close to the Middle East and North Africa. But in that particular lifetime, you were a monk, this before Christ, this lifetime, and you were extremely pious in terms of your religious belief and what you held true to, or thought to be true in terms of your belief system and religion. Now, the thing was, you studied the scriptures a great deal. And prior to that lifetime, you had another religious lifetime, and that was in the time of the tribunals at Nicaea of Emperor Constantinople. I don't know if you know that. And the reason these two are tied together, because in that lifetime, you had something to do with the things that were changed in the Bible, but then you incarnated this other lifetime as well that has to do with being a monk. Now, in both particular lifetimes, the important thing was for you to truly understand Scripture, to understand what it was and how it applied to a person's life in the here and now, to broaden your perspective, to understand that it encompassed and involved spirituality. And and for it not to be so dogmatic. So it's important in this lifetime, because both lifetimes you were very, I would have to say, a little bit self-righteous in your belief system. It's important you have greater understanding, a greater breadth of vision and tolerance for other people's belief systems, and the difference is between religion and spirituality, and to see the differences and to see that there's a lot more to it, that all paths do lead to God, some a little bit longer than others and a little bit more convoluted, but there's truth in every belief system somewhere along the line. But once a person becomes dogmatic or self-righteous, then you're diverting away from the true meaning and understanding of what it's actually supposed to be about. So I say that the karma for you is about power, and in this lifetime it's important that you incorporate, or at least try to expand your perception, your mental capacity, understanding of religion, spirituality, and learn as much as you can so you have a much broader perspective of what it means and how it can help a person in life to become a better person, you know, to become happier, to help the world. I mean, from microcosm to macrocosm, so that in some way, on some level, you're able to share what you learn in a very simple format to others, not in terms of preaching, just to share how it's helped you and how it can help other people. And somewhere in that is a way for you to share, whether it's in literary format, public speaking, but there's something that you have to do in terms of the knowledge that you gather in terms of religion and spirituality. So it has to do with power and leading into a little bit of money as well.
So am I meant to study other faiths?
To study, or read, I would say. I wouldn't say go to, you know, theology school or something, but
yes,
just to find books that you're drawn to from other belief systems. So you see that in each belief system, there's a seed that links them all together.
Mm-hmm.
They're all linked together, and, you know, they do diverge in different directions to some degree, but the point of the matter is, you know, to have love and tolerance but your fellow man, so there's unity through diversity. That's pretty much what it all comes down to.
Right.
So once you've learned and seen the thread, the common thread that runs through all these different belief systems and religion, you realize that pretty much they're all sort of focusing on the same thing at the end of the day.
Right.
And then you can break that down to simple format of your own, share with other people. And it could come in a form of a book, or public speaking, or some other format, but in a way that would actually bring you prosperity. Because in both lifetimes, you didn't really relate to the material world much at all, and financially, of course, you didn't have much in that area. So it's also tied into money, I'd say, as well.
Oh, very interesting. Well, thank you.
That was a pleasure. Did that help you in some way?
Yes, it does help. It helps me maybe clarify a book that I'm writing, and maybe a direction I need to take it.
Oh, what's the book?
Well, it's kind of a memoir, and it's just sort of a description of a life experience, and I was looking for sort of an emotional growth theme, and I was trying to put my finger on what is that theme.
There's a book.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I'm learning everybody has a book. But
yes, exactly. See,
yeah,
there you go. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling, Penelope. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Babel, are you still there?
Oh, yeah. That's,
so that was interesting.
Very interesting. I love hearing all the readings. And, you know, I mean, we've often talked about the golden rule is the silver lining of all religions. And just for those listening, the golden rule is do unto others as you'd have them do unto you.
Yes.
And this is the silver lining of all the religions. It links the truth to all of them.
Yes, it's very true.
And it talks about morality and the highest action you can muster living within that golden rule. Wow, that was up there on your top 20, Lil.
It was a very interesting reading in terms of way it was. It kept going and going and going.
Yeah.
And the way it's reading going.
But, you know, I mean, look how it helped in the end. I mean, she was like, oh, I'm writing a book, and that gave her a list to do. And that's important for all listeners to understand. When you get a karmic reading of this nature, what automatically should be there in the forefront of your mind is now you have a big list to do. And it should have, this list to do is a lot different than the list you had before the reading.
Yes, exactly. Very true. Very, very true.
And,
very, very
you know,
true.
And it should put one in action to have a positive cause and effect in their lives. And that's the nature of the show, is to create an effect that's desired outcome that you want for your life. And it puts people in the right action. It's just fascinating to listen to all the different stories of karma.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, with my segment, we can give practical tips on an everyday basis of what one can do to, as I call it, being spiritually fit.
Yeah.
You know, meditation, work on the physical body. There was a reading about physical body and spiritual body. And this is part of what my segment is today, is that it's important to work the physical body as equally as it is the spiritual body, and getting information such as the karmic reading.
Yes, definitely.
Because if you're not physically fit for your life, how are you going to be able to put an action to make your life better?
I totally agree with you. Absolutely.
And I'll leave it there.
Well, thank you so much, Babel, for your insights. You're amazing as always, and we look forward to what you have to say next week and the following weeks. And I think we have another caller coming in. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Oh, I didn't know you were there. I'm not sorry.
I'm here.
Who am I speaking to?
B.
Sorry, what was the name?
B.
Oh, B, as in B?
As in like a bumblebee, yeah.
Oh, okay, B. And where are you calling from?
Salt Lake.
Okay, wonderful, B. Okay, so the karma I have for you is in the male form around the time of the Libraries of Alexandria, around the time that they were written and put together. In that lifetime, as a boy, you were part of a fairly wealthy family, but you were different in that you had a greater perception of life in terms of what you wanted to do. You wanted to see and experience the world, and you were very, I would say, boisterous. And your family didn't really understand why you didn't seem to want to follow the family business or do the things that everybody else in the family were doing and participating in. You just had a different viewpoint in terms of going out, experiencing people, life, and the world. And they actually, some people thought there was something very wrong with you. They put you in school to become a scholar in terms of scripture, science, a lot of different things, which really wasn't the direction for you in that lifetime. But you did it anyway, and it actually ended up writing works that were put in the Libraries of Alexandria. And I'm not going to go into who you were, what those works were, actually were entitled, because it doesn't really have any relevance to you, and I don't want you to focus on that at this point in time. The point is, in that lifetime, you were supposed to go in the other direction. Even though you wrote these books and you had these works published, it was good, but it was for you in that lifetime to go the other ways, because that would have come later in terms of the literary, scholarly aspects of what you were doing. So in this lifetime, it's important that whatever you've done in terms of learning, going to school, college, or education, that you now in this lifetime follow a more creative, expansive path where you can use your creativity, do something that you feel drawn to in a different capacity other than, you know, scholarly work, because you have to have balance in this lifetime. You have to balance the scales, so you have to balance out the karma. So it's in terms of, I would say, once again, power and to some degree money, that in order to increase your finances in this life, you have to follow a more creative, expansive path, which involves, you know, going out and doing things that are outside of your comfort zone, taking greater risks and challenges, don't necessarily play it safe or follow a path of least resistance or what other people think is right for you. You have to have your own mind, to be your own person, to follow your own direction and do something that's different, that allows you to express yourself on the deepest of levels that will bring you greater fulfillment.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay. What do you do now?
Well, I can definitely hide myself in books forever. Last year I was in a library.
Oh, my God. Wow.
For a year. And I keep toying with the more of the expressive things, but usually can talk myself out of them quite quickly.
Yeah. And well, that's this line somewhere. Not only financially you'd be successful, you'd be the happiest to follow a different direction now.
Okay.
Because you need the balance.
Well, I will shut all those books. Close them.
Yeah. Yes, close them now. Enough.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for calling, Penelope.
Hey.
Well, that was a really interesting meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we go to Promo Pete, we're going to go to commercial break, and we'll be back with Promo Pete.
money, sex, power. What's your karma? The new psychic show that talks to the living about everyday people with everyday problems. Why do you do the things you do and how can you fix it? Every Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Hosted by clairvoyant and author Lilith Dove. For a free karma reading, call 1-877-230-3062. Once again, for a free karma reading, call 1-877-230-3062. So, what's your karma?
And she works in the library.
Yeah, that's him.
Welcome back, all you karma lovers out there. This is Money, Sex, Power, What's Your Karma? The psychic show that talks to living. I'm your host, Lilith Dove, with co-hosts MG, Babel, and Promo P. Karma lovers out there, call in to get your free karma reading on 1-877-876-5227 or 1-877-876-5185. Once again, call in, you good karma lovers, for your free karma reading on 1-877-876-5227 or 1-877-876-5185. We're having a great show today. We had some really interesting readings from the people that called in so far. Quite interesting. Really makes you think, even for me sometimes. So I hope more of you are out there listening will be brave enough to pick up the phone and call in for your free karma reading. Now we're going to go to Promo Pete. I know he's been listening out there in the background waiting to get his chance to have his word in for the day. Promo Pete, are you there?
Yes, Lilith. How are you?
I'm wonderful. So what news do you have about products and offers to keep the good karma
sure, absolutely.
In check?
Absolutely. Hello, good karma lovers out there. Every week, I will bring you all the new exciting products and services we at Astrobattle Productions have to offer. So if any one of you listening will be in the New York City area on Sunday, October 19th at 6 p.m., stop by the New Life Expo. It's America's largest mind, body, and spirit expo, and it will be held at the New Yorker Hotel, which is on 34th Street and 8th Avenue, for a live demonstration of our Money, Sex, Power, What's Your Karma show. At the event, random individuals will get a free karma reading. In addition to everyone, will be receiving a free Think and Dream of World Peace Dream Stone. When held, these dream stones symbolize the link to Earth and the whole of humanity. For more information on the New Life Expo and their small nominal fee entrance, please log on to newlifeexpo.com. And, of course, for more information on our Think Good Karma products, log on to our main media website, whatsyourkarma.tv, and see all the new exciting products and services we have available. And always remember, think good karma.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Promo P. I forgot we have the New Life Expo next week. Yes. People should definitely try and come. For those of you listening out there that are in the New York area or close to New York area, please come to our show, our seminar, What's Your Money, Sex, Power, What's Your Karma. I will be giving free karma readings at that event at 6 p.m., as Stavio said, from Promo Pete, next Sunday, the 19th of October. I think you'll find it very interesting to see how this is done live because it's done anonymously. So when I'm reading, I don't actually know how, or who, I should say, not how, but who I'm reading. And if you go on to the main media website that was given by Promo Pete, whatsyourkarma.tv, you'll see a webisode from an event that we did not so long ago of how this process is done anonymously. So the anonymous factor gives it more validity because most people, most psychics that read these days, they do it either, you know, in front of the person where they're looking at the person or they're picking people randomly out of the audience, but I choose not to do it that way because skeptics, as we all know, always accuse psychics of cold reading, and I don't want to be accused of doing that because I'm not doing cold reading. So that's one of the reasons why I choose to read anonymously, and plus it does make me work hard to make sure I'm giving proof and evidence to the person I'm reading, and also gives validity and proof and evidence to the person receiving the reading. So it's good for all concerned all around. So please stop by to the New Life Expo next Sunday, October 19th at 6 p.m. Log on to the New Life Expo website and also log on to whatsyourkarma.tv to see the webisode of how these anonymous readings are put together and actually done. Promo Pete, are you there?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so what else do you have to offer us? Anything else?
Oh, well, yeah, at the beginning of every segment that I do, I always talk about our Karma Stars, which is our weekly blog. It's an astrological forecast. But this week I decided to change it up a little bit and talk about October 2008's monthly overview. This also can be found on our Karma Stars blog, which is available on our main media website, whatsyourkarma.tv, by clicking on the Karma Stars link. So every Sunday, these Karma Stars are updated, and they're not computer-generated, and they focus on the insights into daily life, incorporating the three main drives, which is money, sex, and power. So just a brief little snip for October. As October begins, Mercury is still retrograde until the 15th. Therefore, caution is still needed up until this date when dealing with all forms of communication, travel, projects, plans, and businesses. Take into consideration that even though this aspect will be affecting October due to shadow effect, planning and introspection should be the main focus during this time. On the 14th, the new moon occurs in the sign of Aries. Therefore, on and even before this time, there's a strong possibility of confrontation, wars, invasion, anything of an aggressive nature manifesting from microcosm to macrocosm during the cycle. The best way to prepare for such an event is to be forewarned in order to eliminate the element of surprise, which would only make matters worse. With the current financial crisis, the vibration of lack will begin to become more and more evident on a personal level in the months ahead, a sign that adjustments and cutbacks have to be made to accommodate the change in financial security. As the year progresses, the effect will spread to more and more people and industries. This is a time to try something new, especially in the area of work and career. If you can, as the saying goes, find a need and fill it, each person will be able to weather the storms ahead and be less of a debilitating effect in the financial security. Each individual's personal resources should be utilized to the fullest, taking into consideration the fact that everyone has something they can do that they love or excel in the most. By taking time to review these attributes, the universe will respond by bringing new doors of opportunity to step through. Realize that when a major catastrophe happens, whether on a personal basis or large-scale basis, there's a lesson to be learned in that change is needed in order to move forward. Remember, problems are but opportunities to grow and prosper. And that is your Karma Stars monthly overview for this week. As mentioned, these are updated every Sunday for the week coming up. So please log on to our main media website, whatsyourkarma.tv, WhatsYourKarma.tv, and click on the Karma Stars link to get your weekly forecast to you.
I'm so glad you read that promo, P. I forgot I wrote that, actually. It's very appropriate considering what's happening at this point in time and things, certain things that have been predicted to happen in the not-so-distant future. Hint, hint.
Absolutely.
But, yes, I'm glad you read that. It's interesting when I hear that or someone reads, I think, oh, I actually did write that. And
absolutely.
As you said,
it's
not computer-generated. I actually do it, star sign and the actual vibration for the month.
Exactly.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
Absolutely, and it's so accessible. You can just go on and get your weekly forecast for each sign, which is great.
Yeah, and I think that, in terms of the difficulties that people are facing, especially financially, primarily, as I said in the overview, problems are but opportunities to grow and prosper. It's how can you take the situation at hand and turn it into something positive. That's really the lesson that the universe is trying to teach us. And obviously the financial structure that we have in place has to change. It obviously is not working and it's not going to work in the future. Something else, hopefully that's better, needs to be implemented in its place. So I think that when something of this nature occurs, it's sort of fall into a debilitating cycle of depression and sadness and worry and stress, one has to find it within themselves and somehow rise above it and focus on, okay, what can I do differently in my work and career to circumvent the worst case scenario actually occurring, financially. So hopefully the Karma Stars will be of help to individuals out there that are listening. They can go to the website and read the Karma Stars weekly and find it in terms of guidance. Even if they can't call in for reading or attend any of our seminars or events, the Karma Stars are written along the same vein as well to give help. And the main thing to remember is that, all of us at Astro Babble, that's Good Karma G, Babble, Promo P, and myself, we try to make these shows empowering and healing and inspiring with a touch of humor. But it's important to remember that even though the topic of karma can be a little bit heavy to tackle sometimes you have to look at the bright side and know that as much as you created the situation, you do have the power to change it. The key, though, is being able to transform the negative into the positive and also having the will, desire, and courage to want to do that. It's really down to each individual to take the initiative and be responsible for improving themselves and their lives as much as they possibly can to make things better. So, Promo Pete, are you still there?
Yes, absolutely.
So what did you think of the readings earlier? They were very interesting, I thought.
Oh, yeah, I thought they were very interesting. It seems like we get a lot of callers from Utah, which is quite interesting. I thought, you know, Bee's reading was quite intriguing. And, you know, she validated, you know, that, you know what I mean, that, you know, some things mentioned about being in the library. I mean, I can remember.
I know, that was unbelievable.
I've always had a strong affinity to the library. And, that, of course, everyone listening, I get a reading too, and so I can relate to you on many levels. Cause
you do? Really, probably? I did not. So I'm just teasing
absolutely.
You.
I get, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and Maggie's reading was interesting too about her physicality. So it's, you know, these are very intriguing because it really makes you kind of question, well, how is she getting that? And how, you know, so I urge everyone listening, please call in and get your karma reading. Lilith Dove is really unique in her ability and what she does.
I think we have another caller, so hold on just a second, Promo Pete.
Great.
Hello?
Hello.
Who am I speaking to?
This is Diane.
Hi, Diane. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Okay, thank you for calling.
Uh-huh.
The karma I see for you is a lifetime of servitude as a working girl in like Victorian England. I see you scrubbing floors on your hands and knees. And this is something that you grew into as an orphan. You were an orphan and you were taken in by a family, but instead of them really treating you as one of their own, they treated you as a servant in servitude. And I see you constantly scrubbing the floor on your hands and knees, almost so your hands and knees were raw. So you may have sensitivity in those particular areas of your body. And also, in terms of where the place where you slept, you didn't have an actual room. You were actually put, I've seen you in the basement or cellar with hardly any food. So that particular lifetime was particularly debilitating in terms of how it had an effect on your psyche, your self-worth, your self-esteem. So as a result of that, not only do you have karma with England, I don't recommend you going to live there at any time soon, at least until the karma's worked out. But also, you have an issue with power and self-empowerment, with self-worth and self-esteem, especially when it comes to, I would say, taking care of yourself, providing for yourself. You could do so much better in your life in terms of where you are now, and it's important to realize that if you work for others in this lifetime, you'll never be as prosperous as if you work for yourself. And that's, I would say, the dharma that you have now with money and power is that you have to do something for yourself that allows you to create your own financial substance, which I know is difficult in light of the current financial crisis, but there's something definitely between now and the next 6 to 9 months that you have to implement. If you sit down and give it some thought, or, you know, journal and write down things you'd like to do, there's something that you have to implement in that time frame that is for you to have the financial substance far beyond your needs, also recognition and a greater self-worth and self-esteem in terms of what you're actually capable of accomplishing in your life. And anything you do with your hands as well in this lifetime will bring you financial success. So whatever you choose to do in that format, using your hands will bring you success because of that particular lifetime of servitude. And also the families that you worked for that took you in has something to do with either employers or employees that you, sorry, employers that you've worked for in this lifetime as well. Not necessarily family, but in people you've worked for in this lifetime.
Okay.
So, that's it.
Interesting.
Can you understand it?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
Totally.
Oh, okay. You weren't saying anything, so I wondered.
Yeah, no, I was just listening and writing. I was jotting.
Oh, okay. Okay. So do you understand the concept of self-worth?
Yes.
And using your hands?
Yes, I do.
Okay. What do you do now?
I actually work for a company, a very large company, and I work virtually. And so I do everything through the internet.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, is there something you have to do for yourself using your hands that in the, between now and the next 6 to 9 months?
Okay.
So it's very important.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Well, thank
you. Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, very interesting meeting today. Very, very interesting. So I hope that all of you out there that are listening to Money, Sex, Power, What's Your Karma have been taking notes of some of these readings.
Hey, Lil, this is Babel.
Oh, this Babel.
Yeah, it seems to me there's a lot of power karma, and it's very interesting.
And money.
Yeah, with people being, with the power structures changing in terms of the financial world, you know, and self-worth and self-esteem and these type of fears that are running the veins of America and the world, that the readings focused on power and money today.
I know. We have another call, actually, so hold on a second. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hello, who am I speaking to?
My name is Audrey.
Audrey, where are you calling from?
Buffalo, New York.
Oh, wow, we have a fellow New Yorker, yay.
Yeah.
Finally. Thank you for calling. Okay, Audrey, this the lifetime I've seen for you is a lifetime, it's in Europe, it's in Eastern Europe, looks like Hungary, and they see you as a flower girl with a basket, and in that particular lifetime, you were part of a very, very large family of at least 12 to 14 children, and because the family was so large, your parents weren't able to keep all of you in terms of food, clothing, so a lot of you had to go out and, you know, sell, you know, different things, you know, trinkets, this and that, but you were selling flowers, and it looks like something else, like fruit or something else that you were selling. But in that particular lifetime, it seems as if because you, in the female form, that you were the youngest in the family, it seems as if you got the short end of the stick in that I'm saying that you were the youngest and the most frail person in the family, and you weren't necessarily taken notice of. You just sort of, okay, do this, do that, and you went and did it because the family had to eat and, you know, be clothed. And in that lifetime, you were very, very unhappy and miserable, and you weren't necessarily listened to in terms of your perceptions and insights of what you felt would be better ways to be more creative in terms of clothing and feeding the family, because the gift you had in that lifetime was a gift of visualization, and you were very insightful. You were very, sensitive to some degree. So you'd see, sense, and feel things that your family didn't really understand, and even though you tried to voice your opinion, because you were very small and frail, you were ignored, but you still did what your parents and family expected of you. Now, as you got older, this ability increased to the point that your family really thought there was something very seriously wrong with you, and so they took you and put you in a, it looks like a not a monastery, but a nunnery, because they've seen you as a nun. And as a result of that, you're discarded away from the family, because your family thought that you were seeing demons, you were seeing, you know, devils, you were just going in a very unholy path. They thought if they put you in a nunnery, that would put you on the right path. But this made you even more miserable and actually made you go within yourself. You became very, very isolated and quiet, because obviously you didn't want to be put in a nunnery. This is not a path you wanted to follow, but what choice did you have? And this is where you lived, this is where you died. So not only were you put in the situation, you didn't experience love in that lifetime, not only from your family or in terms of a personal relationship. And this, really the gist of this is, once again, power, in that your power was that with your creativity, your insight, your ability to sense and feel things, to visualize, you just had a different persona for that particular time frame. It was about the 14th century. So you lived and died in this nunnery, not with experiencing much happiness at all in that lifetime. So the point is that, number one, in this lifetime, the things that make you different are to be used as gifts and talents in this lifetime to create your own happiness, your own prosperity, everything, because you have insight to see what people need and want to help them, that not only would serve them, but would serve yourself in terms of work, career, and finances. The second thing is to surround yourself with people that at least are tolerant of the differences that you have. They may not necessarily totally see eye to eye in terms of your perception of life, but they're tolerant of it and are supportive of who you are and what you have to offer. And this also is connected to personal relationships in this lifetime too, but you must be with someone that will love you for who and what you are. So by doing that, doing all these things in this lifetime, you will create your own happiness that is fulfilling to you on a deeper level, not because other people don't understand you or see what it is that you have to offer, even if they can't quite get what it is you're seeing or trying to convey to them verbally. So it's important that you really have confidence and self-worth and be empowered about the differences that make you special, and to make sure in this lifetime you don't isolate yourself, but you go out into life with the differences, the gifts and talents that you have, and be the best person you possibly can be and reach your highest potential. Wow. That was a long reading.
Wow, yeah. And that's absolutely what I'm going through now in my life. That's amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's great.
What are you going through?
Just a lot of changes. I just graduated from college. I'm going to be a counselor. I'm going into mental health counseling because I'm going back to school. And I'm always helping people. I always get the short end of the stick, you know, always.
Right.
I'm a people helper, you know.
Yes.
Always, I give my last dollar, my last, whatever they need. I'm very giving. I don't give it back, but I don't know.
Yeah,
it makes me feel good.
You have to make sure that the scales are balanced, that you are getting something back in return, something.
Yeah.
You have to have the self-worth to ask or make sure that you're in a scenario that gives you something back. Otherwise, you become the martyr.
It's funny that you said the 14, because I'm the only child.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't have no brothers or sisters.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I'm always the one. Everybody thinks, you know, my parents always thought there's something wrong with me. Because I'm very, you know, complex, and people don't understand me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was amazing.
Well, it's interesting that in that lifetime you're part of a very large family, and this lifetime you're the only child.
Yeah.
You know.
That's amazing.
Well, thank you so much for calling. If you have a chance, come down to our show next week to see us. We'd love to meet you.
Most definitely. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for calling.
Have a great day.
Oh, you too. Wow, that's a fabulous. We've had some amazing meetings today, very varied in terms of the context of what the stories were, but they all seem to connect somehow to money and power, which is very interesting. There's always a theme, usually, when I do these readings, you know, whether it's in this format, on the radio, or in an actual seminar or event. So for all of you out there that didn't call for whatever reason, I hope you'll call next week or visit us at the New Life Expo. Go onto our website, watchyourkarma.tv, to get all the information, or the newlifeexpo.com website to get the information. And we hope to see you there. The readings are free. And you will get a Think and Dream of World Peace Good Karma Stone as well for participating. So we look forward to seeing you all out there. Or, as I said, call in next week. We'd love to have you, and I'd love to read for you. And I appreciate everybody that's supporting our show and making it really fantastic. We're loving every minute of doing this, and we're going to continue doing this on BBS as we love them too. So I hope everyone enjoyed the show. Do remember, what goes around comes around. If you know the cause, you can change your fate. But the important thing is to know what's your karma. So thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next Friday, same time, same place.
Money, sex, power. What's your karma? The new psychic show that talks to the living about everyday people with everyday problems. Why do you do the things you do, and how can you fix it? Every Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Hosted by clairvoyant and author Lilith Dove. For a free karma reading, call 1-877-230-3062. Once again, for a free karma reading, call 1-877-230-3062. So, what's your karma?